losing a limb, how some respond to acupuncture and Chinese herbal supplements, and how they sense and accept death when the time comes. Her book is The Other Family Doctor. Join us.
Fresh Air, tonight at 7 on WGTD.
Now, 10 minutes after 8, just ahead of the morning show with Greg Berg, let's check sports and weather. In the NBA, the Bucks and Bulls both off last night. Tonight, the Bucks play the Kings in Sacramento. The Bulls are off. Then on Tuesday night, the Bucks will be in Phoenix to meet the Suns, and the Bulls get another night off. NHL, Blackhawks off last night. They're off again tonight. On Tuesday night, they skate against the Boston Bruins. College basketball. After winning the Big East Conference title on Saturday, the Marquette Golden Eagles are the number 2 seed in the NCAA Big East bracket. They will play Vermont on Friday night. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service for today. Monday the 13th, cloudy and windy, light snow off and on, maybe an inch of accumulation, a high today 33, some winds up to 30 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy and very cold, a low of only 15. Tuesday, sunny and 36. Right now, wind is from the west at 7, some light flurries in the area. 29 degrees Kenosha, 27 Racine, 28 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am certainly excited about today's program because we are going to be talking about the world of jazz and particularly the exciting ways in which the world of jazz descends upon the University of Wisconsin-Parkside this week for yet another Jazz Week. And of course, I shouldn't phrase it that way. It's not that jazz isn't a vibrant part of Parkside all year round, but jazz, in a sense, sort of takes over the landscape in a really exciting way with this thing called Jazz Week, in which every day of this coming week, beginning tonight, there are wonderful performances, many of them free, most of them free to the public, in which you can really enjoy some truly exemplary jazz musicians doing what they love most. And here to talk about it is Russ Johnson, who is the director of jazz studies at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, quite a jazz trumpeter himself, and the person orchestrating this behind the scenes and bringing some truly world-class talent to the campus of Parkside for this coming week. First of all, Russ Johnson, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. It's great to be here.
Always glad to have you here. It's always a pleasure. And I wonder, if, right off the bat, tell us how long there's been this thing called Jazz Week. How many of these have there been? Which one is this?
Well, it's because of COVID, we had a break, as you one would imagine. I've been at Parkside since I started in January of 2010. And I started Jazz Week the following year. So I believe this is at least 2012 for sure. So yeah, we've been at this 10 years, 11 years. I mean, we're extremely fortunate to present incredible music all week long. Yeah, it's a very special event, and with 2 years off for COVID, we've been doing this now for a decade plus.
Wow.
Yeah.
So just for a moment, talking about COVID, I remember vividly that first one being just absolutely canceled altogether. And I'm trying to remember that following year, was that just also completely wiped off the mat, or did you attempt to do something virtual? I don't recall.
We did a couple of virtual things. It wasn't the same, you know, event that we typically do. But we were able to do a couple of virtual events, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it had to feel so good to be able to bring this back. My experience has been that I mean, it's one thing when you take a year off. That's right. Fairly ordinary. You don't need a pandemic for that right. Sometimes to have to happen. But when something goes out of existence for 2 years or 3 years, it's not always a simple matter to bring it back, and particularly at its former vibrancy. So it had to feel so good to see this return.
Incredible. You're absolutely right. Often those things disappear, right, due to funding or just general people forgetting about it. So we've been able to kind of secure funding for it and to keep it going. And it's an incredible event for not only the community, but specifically for students. And we welcome students from all campuses, any college, any high school. We want everybody to attend as much as possible. So it's an amazing opportunity for our students as well. Yeah.
So maybe we should start with that, because obviously, in some respects, what we're going to talk about quite a lot are these headliners and these concerts that the public can come and enjoy as audience members. But Jazz Week, of course, was conceived to be much, much more than that. So give our listeners a sense of kind of the totality of what this is all about and what happens this week beyond just the public performances.
Well, it's something I take great pride in, honestly, because I do want this to be student-centered. I want it to be community-centered as well, where we get a chance to bring these world-class artists on campus on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Those performances are free, and we can discuss the lineup down the road. But the amazing thing about those performances is the artists do a 50-minute to an hour concert, and then we open the floor to the artists and all the musicians in the bands for Q&A with students and community members. And it's so incredible for my students to ask these world-class musicians questions. And sometimes it's, you know, very practical. How do I get started in this business? What should I practice? Other times they totally surprise me and are you know, asking questions, what does it mean to be an artist or something like that? You know, so it's really, I've seen it change lives over the course of the decade plus that we've been doing this. I've seen it, you know, where one artist comes and a different artist is going to speak to every student, right? I mean, we don't all have the same musical tastes, and I try and put a pretty broad spectrum of artists together. And so I've seen specifically the Q&A afterwards, as much as the music, really affect young people's lives in a really positive way.
So tell us about kind of casting your net for various musicians to come in and be part of Jazz Week. I mean, the very special guests that you do bring in. I mean, as you think about each year, what kinds of things do you contemplate and in a sense, kind of weigh in terms of who should be brought in and who's going to be most effective in this opportunity?
Right. That's a great question. Well, personally, I call in favors. I'm known as being honest, I believe, you know, I bring in artists I want to hear, but who I also know are great communicators. So that really weighs a lot into who I ask to do this. Oftentimes, I mean, we have nationally, internationally known artists. If they're on tour, I can get them to come in to Parkside on a Monday or Tuesday night when they're off. So, I mean, and like the word is out amongst jazz musicians, hey, UW Parkside has this week in March. So, I mean, I get people emailing me all the time about participating in the event. But as I said earlier, I really want to find people that are, I try and present a broad spectrum of music. right? Including some music that will appeal, you know, that might be challenging for some listeners. I think it's important to experience the totality of what's happening in the music today.
Right.
It would in some ways be easy to make it, you know, I'm going to book all extremely popular artists. but I want my students to, and the community to realize that it's a huge world out there, and there are people making a living playing music that may not be heard everywhere, every day, everywhere, right? There's so many opportunities. Obviously you're deeply involved in music. There are these niche markets as well.
Sure.
For whatever, it doesn't matter genre-wise, right? So it's really important to me that I present a broad spectrum of artists that and my students can hear, hopefully, a bunch of different music that hopefully opens their ears and allows them to imagine themselves doing something like that.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the other thing you do is you don't bring in five trumpeters, even though you yourself are a trumpeter. I mean, you're obviously smart enough to know that jazz is about more than the trumpet. And for that matter, as you've just said, jazz also comes in so many different flavors and some very, in a sense, nostalgic, rooted in the past, and some very, very boldly innovative, and it sounds like that's also really important to you that a wide palette of colors is represented.
100%, 100%, and I mean, I love all those musics as well. So, I mean, you know, I'm a living composer as well as being a trumpet player, and so I compose music, and I'm into music that's being performed and composed right now. But I also love the history of the music. One thing we're going to do, Parkside's going to do, and I believe it's May 7th and 8th, we're going to do the Parkside Jazz Ensemble with the university choirs. We're performing Wynton Marsalis's Abyssinian Mass. Which is going to be incredible.
Wow.
I'm super excited about it. I was listening to it on the way down here today. So that's, yeah. I mean, I just, like I said, I love all styles of music. I love all different styles of jazz. And I want my students and the Racine Kenosha area to have an opportunity to hear world-class artists in a variety of styles.
Wonderful. For those of you just joining us, we're talking today on The Morning Show with Russ Johnson, who is Director of Jazz Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, our neighbor right up the road. And today, the 13th of March, kicks off yet another Jazz Week. And for roughly 10 years, I mean, for more than 10 years, but with a little hiatus there thanks to COVID, Jazz Week has been with us and bringing really first-rate jazz artists to the campus of Parkside. And it's an opportunity for the general public to hear some great jazz, and many of the performances are absolutely free. And we're going to run down the impressive lineup of artists who are coming to Parkside this week. And it all kicks off tonight with a concert tonight by John Arabagan, who is a saxophonist. And tell us why you're so excited about having everything begin with him.
Well, it's I've known John for 20 years. I've played on several of his records. And he just moved to the Chicago area from New York during the pandemic. He's originally from the area. His wife got a really great job in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And so they left New York. And John is internationally known. He literally travels all over the globe most of the year. But he also, when he moved here, I was able to commandeer him into teaching the saxophone studio at Parkside. So I'm which is a coup for us, because John is an incredible, incredible musician, incredible saxophonist. And so, yeah, and John is somebody that literally his music runs the gamut of all different styles. So I have no idea what we're going to hear tonight. I mean, if you do a YouTube search, you can hear him with Lincoln Center Jazz Orchestra with Wynton Marsalis. You can also hear him playing completely solo improvised sopranino saxophone. John is an incredible musician. And he has incredible musicians in his band. So I'm super excited to kick it off with him.
Right. Yeah, it's such a blessing for Parkside. I mean, we feel the same way at Carthage, to be perched right where we are between Milwaukee and Chicago. And particularly when it comes to Jazz Week, you know, you are so fortunate to have Chicago, such a famous jazz town, if anything, even richer than it once was in terms of that and the artists that are there available for you. And I know that the artist playing tomorrow night is also Chicago-based, and that would be trumpeter Marcus Carroll. Tell us about him.
I met Marcus so when I lived in New York for 23 years, and when my family and I moved here in 2011, I started playing in Chicago area. And one of the first people I met was Marcus. We were in a band called the Chicago Yes Tet, and and Marcus is an unbelievably gifted musician, trumpet player, composer, amazing educator, and he's and one of my favorite human beings on the planet. So yeah, and I just think that Marcus is a very, very special. Yeah, a very special human who's creating some really beautiful music. And I can't wait for the Q&A afterwards because he's very deep and insightful, and it will be an amazing opportunity for the audience members to interact with Marcus and his band.
Terrific.
It's fantastic.
Wonderful. So tonight and tomorrow night are free performances, as is Wednesday night's performance as well. And I am so intrigued by this, a saxophonist from Japan. I mean, at least born and raised in Japan, Mai Sugimoto. And I know on her website, Mai Sugimoto is listed as saxophonist, composer, improviser. I mean, it's like one of the three headlines. So clearly this is somebody with where that is a really important part of what they do. Tell us more about the jazz scene in Japan and what Mai Sugimoto brings to this that is maybe a bit out of the ordinary.
Well, it's, I mean, the jazz scene around the globe is, you know, we're in 2023 and jazz is a part of every musical culture across the globe now. And there are incredible, incredible musicians everywhere. No matter where you travel, you will find incredible jazz musicians, much like classical musicians, right? It's a very similar trajectory or path. So Mai has been in, I don't know exactly when she moved to Chicago, but she's been in Chicago since I arrived in 2011, 2012. And I've played her music. She's a fantastic composer. Lately, she's been focusing on the quartet she's bringing, plays completely improvised music. And I saw them perform 6 months ago, and it was one of the best concerts of improvised music I've ever heard in my life. It was stunning. I mean, she's an incredible, it's incredible saxophonist and flute player. But it's... I'm trying to find the right words. In improvised music, there are one misconception people have often is that improvised music is noise or loud or you know, has a certain energy to it. And by definition, improvised music could be anything, right? It could be and Mai's music has all of those things, but it also feels incredibly patient to me. And the way she and her quartet develop their performances over the course of an hour. It's like I said, the last performance, and I've seen her many times. The last performance, it was one of the best concerts of improvised music I've ever heard in my life. And she's also an incredible human. I like good people too. I try and bring in good people. And I think her perspective will be very, very welcome for our students and for the community. And you know, these kind of questions that you ask me, that'd be the perfect question to ask why.
Of course, absolutely.
You know, because Monday through Wednesday, the artists all do the Q&A afterwards. And I get as much out of that as I do out of the performances. I love listening to them play.
Absolutely.
But it's really amazing. Yeah.
I think you touched on something really true about what we often think of as improvisation in the jazz realm, that we tend to think of it as pretty aggressive, mm-hmm. and sometimes bordering on frantic, mm-hmm. and often it can kind of grow, I don't know, you know, even a little kind of raw and rough and strident, mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. And that's almost always the first thing that comes to mind when we think about a jazz musician improvising something. And it's so great to hear about improvisation coming in lots of different flavors. And it sounds like one of the things that Maya Shugemoto brings to this is, as you said so intriguingly, a patience that we don't always associate with this.
Yeah, and I think it's important to realize that jazz and improvisation in general is, you know, portrays all of human life in all its beauty and all its negativity and all its darkness. And all of those are equally valid. Let me just put it that way. All of those, I mean, the human experience is, and I think we all go through that. We run the trajectory usually as human beings where we have moments of pure bliss and moments where things are not going the way we'd like. And with jazz in general, I mean, a lot of the music that I love has this broad palette.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So that will be Maya Shugemoto on Wednesday evening. And again, the first three presentations of Jazz Week at the University of Wisconsin Parkside are completely free and open to the public. The first ticketed event is your big headliner for the week, and how exciting this is for you to be bringing in a jazz drummer by the name of Matt Wilson, who has quite an impressive resume. Tell us more about Matt Wilson and why you're so excited to have him.
Matt has played with everyone. He's literally played with, I mean, pretty much any artist that you can name in the last 25 years of this music, Matt has performed with them. And Matt is one of the happiest people I've ever met in my life, and his joy of life is expressed through his music. Hmm. I've known him for decades, 25 years. He has a spirit to, I mean, personally, as a human, as well as in his music, that is just joyous. I don't know a better way to put it. I've never seen people walk out of a Matt Wilson performance in a negative space, put it that way, right? I mean, you see people walking out of the club or the concert hall, and everybody's smiling because Matt has this infectious, joyous spirit, and he's one of the heaviest drummers around. I mean, he's, as I said, he's played with everybody. It's not just because he's a nice guy. It's because he is one of the important drummers of this generation for sure. And he's on hundreds of records. He's one of those people that's, you know, I'd say Matt is probably 59, 60, even though he acts like a 25-year-old, and I mean that in the best possible way. But Matt is one of these people that is, you know, kind of one of those living legend types, you know. And his quartet is absolutely fantastic. It'll be super fun.
Wow, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I glanced at his discography. I was just kind of blown away by how long it is and who's on that list on. You're right. He has played with everybody.
Everybody. And I got to – Matt and I have played together a bunch, but we toured with the saxophonist legend who just passed, Lee Konitz. We toured with Lee for many years together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Matt is an absolute pleasure.
Fantastic. So then explain the way in which Jazz Week gets tied up then on Friday with two different performances that I think are really a lovely way to draw things to a close.
For sure. So we invite local high schools. We usually alternate between Kenosha schools and Racine schools every other year. Last year was Kenosha schools. So this year is basically Racine high schools. And so we invite them on campus to participate in a day-long series of events. So that kicks off with a concert with the UW Parkside faculty at noon, which is a free concert, our typical noon free concert series. And then the students go into instrument-specific master classes. So I'll take the trumpet students. Our trombone, Professor Mark Holscher, will take the trombone students. John Arabagon will take the saxophone students. Our rhythm section, James Sodkey, Tim Ipsen, Dave Bayless will take the rhythm section. And so we all spread out for an hour, and we all go, and you know, the Parkside faculty works with all of the sections of the various ensembles together. So we have all these high schools together, and I'll list them. It's Park. I say that first because I'm an alum. Park, Case, Horlick, Walden, and Oak Creek. This is the first time we've had five high schools. I don't know how I'm going to make it happen, but I'll make it work.
Wow.
So we go into that, and then I usually spend 30 to 40 minutes working with each ensemble during during that later afternoon period between 2 like and 5:30. So I'll you know, it serves as a sound check for them for the evening performance, and I basically spend some time, and I've spent time over the last couple of weeks going to visit the high schools and working with them before they arrive. And so yeah, and then you know, we give them pizza and salad and soft drinks, and then we have a concert in the evening with those aforementioned high schools plus the UW Parkside Jazz Ensemble. And that's always, it's so much fun. I mean, we hear these young musicians that are absolutely remarkable. And then we get to present our music, which I'm also extremely proud of. So,
yeah.
Fantastic.
All of these performances, they're at Parkside, but where exactly at Parkside do they take place?
In Bedford Hall. So it's the Rita Talent Pickens Center for the Arts and Humanities. And inside, if you walk in that entrance to Parkside and you turn right, you can't miss it. Bedford Hall is immediately, if you come in that Rita entrance, Bedford Hall is off to the right. And again, as you mentioned, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday noon are free events. And then there's ticketed events. And it's $10, which is unbelievably reasonable to see and hear these incredible Matt's performance on Thursday, and then the Parkside Jazz Ensemble with the local high schools. That's a $10 ticketed event as well.
Fantastic, and you're right, an absolute bargain.
Yes,
and boy, that Francis Bedford Hall is such a lovely space. What's it like to do jazz in that particular room?
One of the beautiful things about the hall is that we can adjust the acoustics in there. So you know, it's very different if you're doing a choral performance. Obviously, you want a lot more natural live reverb from the hall, which it has, and it's a beautiful hall. But we can also close all the curtains, and so we can make it in essence dead enough that a jazz ensemble could be performing in there, and it's not going to assault the ears of the listener, right? I mean, that's one of the, besides the hall being aesthetically beautiful, it is really kind of malleable in a way, in the way that we can design the acoustics of the hall.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So Jazz Week is going on this week at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. Everything kicks off tonight with saxophonist John Arabagon, and then trumpeter Marcus Carroll, saxophonist Mai Sugimoto, jazz percussionist Matt Wilson Thursday night, and then two events on Friday, the free noontime concert featuring Parkside's jazz faculty, and then the Parkside Jazz Ensemble with special jazz musicians from five different local high schools, and that concert, a very celebratory finale to the week on Friday evening. My guest today on the morning show is Russ Johnson, Director of Jazz Studies at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. When did you say you started there?
I commuted from New York. I started in January of 2010 when Tim Bell retired, former DJ here.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So Tim retired mid-year, and so I started in January of 2010, and I commuted from New York. I would fly in to Milwaukee on Monday nights. I would teach all day Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and fly back to be with my family in New York Thursday night or Friday morning. And
spend,
yeah, it was pretty brutal. It was pretty brutal. But and then the position was a tenure track position. I applied and got the tenure track position, and then we moved here. So we moved here in August of 2011, but I started teaching there in January of 2010.
Wow. Yeah. As you alluded to earlier in the interview, you're an alum of Washington Park High School.
Correct.
In Racine. So you are a local boy who has returned home. Tell us a little bit about your childhood growing up here and the way in which music began to be an increasingly more important part of your life.
Sure. I'll start off by saying something that's controversial. I don't really believe in talent. I believe we're a product of experience. And I was incredibly fortunate that I had an older brother who played trumpet. Mm. So it was kind of, he was much larger than me, 5 years older, and he decided in fifth grade that I was going to play the trumpet. It wasn't my call, really. It was his call. Mm. And again, this idea of talent being overrated. Racine and Kenosha have this long history of incredible musicians coming from this area.
It's true.
And it's tied in most often to having spectacular teachers. And there was a brass instructor here named Johnny Hemkes, who was an amazing, amazing brass teacher. And back then, he wouldn't take anybody until they were in 10th grade. That was his hard and fast rule. And my brother, his senior year, so I was in 7th grade, wasn't going to continue on in music. And he went to Johnny and said, "Hey, you got to hear my kid brother play." And Johnny's like, "I don't take anybody until they're 10th grade."
Mm.
And my brother kind of insisted, so I, like, starting in 7th grade, every other week I would alternate lessons with my brother. So I was incredibly fortunate to study with this amazing teacher starting in 7th grade, and then I started full-time with him in 8th grade. And as I said, there's this history of incredible musicians coming. The music programs in Kenosha and Racine are very, very strong. And, I mean, I know so many people in New York and LA and all across the globe that are from Racine and Kenosha. So, yeah, I mean, to grow up in that environment, I think was incredibly, you know, I was incredibly fortunate to grow up in that setting. And I took an interest in it. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, somebody tells you you're good at something, and then you go, "Oh, okay, cool. I'm going to keep working on this." Right? It doesn't matter what it is. Mathematics, it doesn't matter what you know.
Throwing a football.
Pottery, football. Yeah. I mean, there are so many, you know, things that apply to all of life. Sport, there are a lot of things that work between sports analogies and music. But, yeah, so I kind of grew up in that environment, and I went to Parkside for a year, and then I left Parkside to go to Berklee College of Music in Boston. And then I had a long, circuitous path that ended up, I moved to New York because I wanted to be in New York. And then I went back to school and finished my degrees while I was in New York at Manhattan School of Music and did that. But yeah, growing up here was fantastic. Just there was so much, you know, sense of community from the local musicians. It was great.
You had an amazing career out in New York City for a long time. Were you there maybe 20 years?
Over 20 years, 22, 23 years. Yeah.
Right. And when you look back at that time, what do you most fondly recall or most deeply appreciate about that experience, which not very many people get to have?
I mean, that's the epicenter of the music that I love. And I was just back there literally last weekend making a record. I still get back there often, and actually this last weekend I really miss New York. I was in Brooklyn. I lived in Brooklyn my last 14 years in New York, and I love Brooklyn, and I miss that very much. But there are great musicians, as I said earlier, there are great musicians everywhere. Chicago has incredible musicians. Los Angeles, Nashville, Atlanta, you know, Stockholm, Berlin. They're incredible musicians everywhere. What New York has that other places don't is depth, because everybody wants to go there. So there are, you know, 100, 200 great whatever instrument you want to talk about, trumpet players out there, right? So there's just this incredible depth of just numbers, sheer numbers, you know, because of the size of the city, of incredible musicians. And so, yeah, I mean, I miss the clubs. There's just opportunities to hear music, and you could go from club to club to club every night. Mm. And I would often do that, you know.
And I suppose hear somebody different every night.
Exactly. And it's, like I said, it's kind of a numbers game, actually, you know. And, you know, I shouldn't say all. most of the musicians that are known as famous jazz musicians live in New York City. It's just, just how it is. So to be a part of that community was really, really special. And you know, it allowed me to travel all over the world playing with incredible musicians. So I'm incredibly thankful, yeah.
Yeah. So what if in what in particular drew you back here, away from this city that you still love and this life that you loved so much? Anything in particular, or was it just an intriguing door that opened and kind of a new adventure offering itself to you?
Health insurance. And I'm not joking. I'm not joking. You know, life is a jazz. My wife is an incredible singer-songwriter, so we're both in the arts, right? And and you know, that's it's a life that I love. It was timing, basically. I was touring up until 2008 to 2010. I was touring with a lot of groups of my own, but also as a sideman with a lot of very famous musicians who were getting up there in age, and I could see kind of the handwriting on the wall. For a decade plus, I would spend 4 to 5 months out of every year in Europe, and all of a sudden it was 3 months. And so I could kind of see, you know, I could kind of see the handwriting on the wall. And health insurance, so I'm going to go back to that. It's one of those things. I had a child, and, you know, my daughter's now in college. And it was just the timing seemed right. It was one of those decisions, like, if we're going – when the position opened up, I thought I'll throw my hat in the ring. And it was one of those decisions, like, if we're going to do it right now is when we're going to do it. Because my daughter was entering third grade, so it's like we don't want her to get too entrenched, you know. So it was really a timing thing. And I've always loved teaching, and I'm incredibly passionate about it. I love being around young people. I mean, it makes me feel like a kid. So I've always been incredibly passionate about teaching, and I'm incredibly passionate about the music that I've devoted my life to. So it became an opportunity that was, you know, kind of too good to be true.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My father was getting up there in age. I knew he didn't have much time left. So while I was commuting, I got to have breakfast with my dad every Wednesday morning, which was really, after not seeing him much for 20 years, you know, here and there. But like it was like, and that, you know, that was really special to be able to spend, you know, what I knew was not much, you know, he didn't have much time. And I got to, you know, have breakfast with him and see him on a pretty regular basis. And I'll say this, like, I have absolutely no regrets. I love what I do. I also teach at Carthage, as you know. I teach a trumpet studio, and now this year I'm teaching the jazz ensemble there, coaching the jazz ensemble as well. And for me, like I said, the joy of teaching, but it wasn't just the joy of teaching anywhere. Chicago was a huge draw for me. I still play. I play in Chicago 7, 8 nights a month. I have bands down there. I just played the Chicago Jazz Festival with my band. So for me, I did not want to become a jaded educator who, like, stopped doing what they love.
Right.
So the draw of Chicago was crucial for me, because there are incredible musicians in Chicago. And yeah, it was like, okay, I can play with world-class musicians, you know, and fulfill, you know, my love of teaching. So it was really a fan. Like I said, I have no regrets. Even though, like, I go back to New York and I miss it. I have absolutely no regrets, because I love what I do. So
sure,
it's all good.
Well, I mean, I can't think of a more perfect example of a win-win.
Totally.
In that this was such a great thing for you and for your family, and what a great thing for Parkside
and for all
of the young musicians who have benefited so richly from all that you've had, what that you have given them. I'm just curious. You know, you talk about your passion for teaching. In that busy life as a musician out in New York for 20 plus years, were you also teaching?
Not nearly as much. Not full time. I would have some private students. Oftentimes what jazz musicians do when we tour, especially if we're touring in the States, is we'll do master classes or clinics at universities and colleges. And that happens in Europe as well. So I was doing those frequently. And that was when, you know, I talked earlier about, you know, my love for being around young people. Like, that really kind of, you know, lit a fire for me about, like, oh, okay, maybe this is an option that you can pursue, you know, because it's just, it's I feed off the energy that I get from them, you know.
Right.
You know, so it's, yeah, Yeah. So I've been doing master classes and clinics and stuff like that for decades. Mm. But then I started full time teaching. I was not teaching full time in New York. No, I was touring too much and trying to piece together a living as it is as a musician, you know.
Right. So, yeah. No, but I think that's just not something we've taken the time to talk about is mm-hmm. the teaching opportunities you grabbed even during that time that you were such a busy performer. I mean, right. So clearly there was something in your DNA that ultimately this is where everything was going to lead. And, of course, here we are.
Here we are.
Well, fantastic. Let's circle back to what brought you to the morning show today and recap what is going to be a really terrific jazz week once again at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. So outline for our listeners everything that's going to be happening this week.
Everything in 30 seconds or less.
Right. Well, it doesn't have to be 30 seconds.
Great. So Monday evening we have the incredible saxophonist John Arabagon. That's at 7 p.m. in Bedford Hall, and that's a free concert. John is a world-renowned saxophonist, and he's bringing a group up from Chicago. Tuesday is one of my favorite musicians in Chicago, Marcus Carroll, really great trumpet player, great composer, great educator, great human being. On Wednesday night, the saxophonist Mai Shigemoto and her quartet, which is filled with amazing musicians as well. On Thursday night is the headliner, that's Matt Wilson's quartet, and that will feature his most common working band, Kirk Konufke on cornet, Jeff Lederer on tenor saxophone, Chris Lightcap on bass, and Matt on drums. Friday noon, we have the UW Parkside faculty concert, which is a free concert. And then Friday evening, the Parkside Jazz Ensemble along with Park, Horlick, Case, Walden, and Oak Creek High Schools.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
Right. Fun before work, or work before fun, I guess we should say. So, yes. So, this is Jazz Week at Parkside, starting tonight and running all the way through Friday night. And you can go to uwp.edu. I was actually amazed at how easily and quickly all the information kind of popped up if you go to the website.
If you punch in jazz in the search bar, the Jazz Week thing comes up right away.
There it is. Yeah. And at the helm, Russ Johnson. Yeah. Russ Johnson, it's always great to talk with you. Thank you so much for all that you do, and in particular for bringing all the joy of Jazz Week to southeastern Wisconsin. And we hope this one is as happy and fun as all of them have been before it, and wish you well.
I appreciate you having me on so much, Greg, and thank you for everything that you do.
Russ Johnson, Director of Jazz Studies at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. And to finish out today's morning show, we're going to sample the music of some of the great artists that are coming to be part of UW Parkside's Jazz Week, beginning with saxophonist John Arabagon, who plays tonight. That was saxophonist John Arabagon, part of his song called January Dream. He plays tonight, 7 p.m. at UW Parkside. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, it will be Chicago-based trumpeter Marcus Carroll in performance. And here is a bit of something called The Ancestors Call Upon Us. We'll be right back. Marcus Carroll tomorrow night at 7 p.m. in performance at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. Wednesday evening, Maya Sugimoto will be performing at UW Parkside, and here she is with her quartet in an excerpt from one of her group's improvisations. Saxophonist Mai Sugimoto and her quartet performing Wednesday evening, 7 p.m. And to round out the hour, here is the headliner for Jazz Week at University of Wisconsin Parkside, jazz percussion legend Matt Wilson. Here he is with Nice Brushwork. Jazz legend Matt Wilson. And his concert, part of UW Parkside's Jazz Week, is Thursday evening, March 16th, 7 p.m. These and the other performances all take place in Francis Bedford Hall in the Rita at the University of Wisconsin Parkside. And again, if you go to their website, uwp.edu, and type in jazz into the search bar, you'll hear all of the information you need for this year's Jazz Week at Parkside. And my thanks again to Russ Johnson for joining me today on The Morning Show here on WGTD.